Greetings, Israelite brothers and sisters. May the divine influence be with you. This is part two of Adoption. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Adoption is found in the Word Studies menu. In part one, we saw that the King James Version and other translations use the word adoption, where the Greek word huiotheseia is. But huiotheseia does not mean adoption in the Greek. Huiotheseia means the placement of son, a child of kinship, to become an heir. It does not mean to adopt someone outside the family into the family's covenants and promises. The position or placement of sons is a status we lost because of disobedience. We have been walking in darkness and are recognized in the house of the dead. We can reclaim that position of sons when we do that which is right in the sight of Yahweh God, when we follow His laws, walk in His ways, and call upon Jesus, Yeshua Christ, and put our trust in Him. Then we are recognized in the house of the living again. No one can choose to accept Jesus and get adopted. It is the Father that draws whom He will, and those who answer the call and changes their ways are again eligible to receive their inheritance, which is prepared for those who love and obey Him, who love their kinsmen, and who continue to walk in the way. We saw that the churches teach that the Jews are the natural branches, and that the Gentiles are the wild branches. But the churches are unaware of who is who in Scripture, so they can't connect the dots correctly. And so they go their own way and created this adoption doctrine based on mistaken identity, mistaken understanding of the prophecies, and they also don't understand that they are supporting the idea that God failed because He called Israel to be His people, and they failed their calling. So God failed too, because Israel is God's works. They also spread the false doctrine that God instead gave the Gentiles the ability to become Abraham's spiritual seed by just believing, and then they too can become heirs to the promises which were made to Abraham and his children. So God is a God that breaks His promises and changes His mind about who is His special, chosen, peculiar, set apart people, and lumps everybody into the new body, the church. But the Jews will magically return to Him and repent, and then bless the goyim, the Gentiles, and everybody will live happily ever after. Even though the book of Obadiah is a prophecy of the fate of the Edomite Jews, somehow they will not receive that fate which God told unto Obadiah in the vision concerning Edom, making God yet again a liar. Keep believing what the churches teach, and you will be adopted by the devil, and you will receive your placement of sons and daughters in the fires of Gehinnom. It matters who and what we believe. Let's continue rightly dividing the word of truth and cover the verses that use the word graft in. Used only 6 times. Graft, a small shoot or scion of a tree, inserted in another tree as the stock which is to support and nourish it. These unite and become one tree, but the graft determines the kind of fruit. Webster's 1828 Dictionary, graft. To insert a scion or shoot, a small cutting of it, into another tree. This is a generalized definition. Nurseries have grafted scions into other trees, just as botanists have grafted several fruit trees onto another fruit tree. This is not the kind of grafting that God accepts or does, as all the examples of mixing diverse kinds in Scripture are abominations to him. The scriptural definition for the word graft is G1461, enkentridzo, meaning to cut into for the sake of inserting a scion, ingraft, graft in. Romans 11:16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Jacob was holy, his seed was called out, set apart. The branches here are the descendants of Judah, namely Zerah. Zerah was the twin of Phares through Tamar. Zerah's descendants left Egypt before the Exodus and settled Troy and later Rome. These are the wild olives whose branches were broken off. The first fruit, the lump, the root and the branches are all of one tree, an olive tree. The olive tree represents the children of Israel. Verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root you. Jeremiah 11:16, Yahweh called your name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you, speaking of the Judean Israelites, which were near, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, speaking of the dispersed lost Israelites that were far off, even as many as the Prince our God shall call. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants and promises, having no hope and without God in the world. The captivities were because of disobedience. It was a divorce. Israel was cast off, and as a result, they forgot their heritage. But they were all still Israelites. Christ reconciled the children of Israel, both near and far. This is why Yeshua Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Kinsman being the key word. Paul is speaking to the Roman Israelites that they should not boast that they knew their heritage and the law and their relationship to God, when the scattered Israelites forgot their heritage, the law, and their relationship to God. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if you boast, then you bear not the root, but the root you. You will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Verse 19 should be a question. You will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. The Greek reads verses 19 and 20 as, now you will say, those branches have been broken off in order that I would be grafted in? Correct. In disbelief they were broken off, and you in the belief stand. Be not proud, but reverent. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. Paul was telling the Judeans and the dispersed nations that they were of the same tree, for the Judean Israelites not to boast against the scattered lost Israelites, because they had the law and the dispersed didn't. They were all of the same lump. They were all welcome to the Olive Garden, where you are treated like a family, because they were family. They just forgot. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Elohim. On them which fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also shall be cut off. 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. John 15:2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Back to Romans, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for Elohim is able to graft them in again. Notice the word again. Only something that was broken off can be grafted back to its original. Verse 24. For if you were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Yisrael, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The last part should read, that blindness in part is happened to Yisrael, until the fullness of the dispersed nations be come in. To know the mystery, you have to know the history. If you don't know the true identity of who the Israelites are, and who the Jews are, and who the Gentiles are, then you will not understand Scripture. The fullness of the dispersed nations of Israel be come in is a reference to Christ, the gospel, and the scattered Israelites returning to the truth, their heritage, and their God. This has nothing to do with Gentiles and non-Israelites or the church. The whole Bible is about Israelites. The gospel is to Israelites. The placement of sons and the grafting in is about Israelites. Paul clearly states that the Romans are a branch that was broken off from the main tree. If some of the branches be broken off, only a branch of the same race can be grafted in. Verses 17 through 19 clearly talk about the branches that were broken off in Egypt. This would also be those Israelites that did not return to Judea after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities and forgot who they were and forgot their God. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, Elohim sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ Yeshua was born an Israelite. Only Israel was given the law on Mount Sinai. Only Israel can be redeemed because only Israel was under the law. There were no other races or peoples included in the giving of the law, the Torah, the promises, and the covenants at Mount Sinai. Adoption is a deliberate mistranslation. The Greek word huiotesia means the placement of son. It has nothing to do with adopting someone from another race and including them in the will. The churches teach that God is a foster parent for anyone who believes. Why would you need to be adopted if you are already a child of God's? Oh yeah, because they teach that you are a non-Israelite Gentile, who, by just believing, you become the seed of Abraham and are by your own declaration saved. That's just crazy. The Bible is not a universal role-playing game. The scriptures teach that Israelites are children of Yahweh, that when they come of age, meaning mature spiritually, they are placed into position of son and are heir to the inheritance promised to Abraham's seed. A seed is not spiritual, it's genetic. Seed is sperma in the Greek, and is how you are engendered into the flesh and blood family of Adam. Verse 6, and because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of Elohim through Christ. The phrase through Christ is not in the original manuscripts. It should read, and if a son, then an heir through Yahweh. With this addition of the phrase through Christ, it supports the universal doctrine that anybody who believes can become a son through just believing. Another way to understand this is that Christ is Christos in the Greek, which means anointed. This could read, and if a son, then heir through the anointed, meaning an heir through the anointed people. The anointed people are Israelites. Sometimes the word Christ is a reference to the people, the kinsmen of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, howbeit then, when you knew not Elohim, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. The Greek reads, but while at that time not knowing Yahweh, you had been enslaved to those who are not gods by nature, meaning you were rebellious pagans. The confusion is because of the word Gentile, which is also an incorrect and deceptive word that does not belong in Scripture. It does not mean non-Israelite or non-Jew. When our ancestors, as well as us today, stray from Yahweh, we are preferring other gods, images, idols, lusts, and desires instead of Him. This causes us to despise our birthright and inheritance. It causes us to be estranged from the Father. Why would we be placed into position of sons or daughters if we are not educated with knowledge and understanding and also act as a son or daughter of Yahweh? The above verses show that any sort of adoption can only be received if you were born under the law, meaning born from of the sons of Jacob. If you still have not connected the dots yet, then simply stated, if you are a white Anglo-Saxon, then you are a real flesh and blood Israelite with the DNA and spirit of Yahweh. You are not an adopted Gentile saved by grace. You are an Israelite who can receive grace and your position of son or daughter as an heir in the kingdom if you do that which is right in the sight of Yahweh, obey His commandments, learn who you really are and whose you are, and continue in the way. Huiothesia is when an adolescent becomes an adult, the coming of age, and grows into perfected adulthood. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It should read, having predestinated us unto the placement of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's observe Ephesians chapter 1 in full to understand just what is this word adoption. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Prince Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Greek reads verse 3, blessed be Yahweh, even the Father of our Prince, Yeshua Christ, who has blessed us among the anointed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Christ does not always refer to the Prince. It quite often refers to the anointed people or group, Israelites. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy, the same word as saint. We are to be righteous, blameless, set apart from unrighteousness. The word should implies that since we are of the chosen seed of Abraham, and therefore have a called out purpose, the test is that we should act accordingly. Just believing does not make one holy. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. As explained in Romans and Galatians, which you can see in the Scriptures menu on the website, the word adoption is used only 5 times and is an incorrect translation. The Greek word huiotesia means placement of son or position of son. Adopting someone who is not an Israelite into God's family is not what this word means. As children of Israel mature into learned and obedient servants of faith, which really means loyal and in allegiance to the kingdom, we are placed into the position of sons and daughters. Only those of this racial family seed are eligible. The churches teach that anybody can be adopted if they believe. If you have eyes to see, Scripture will reveal otherwise. John 1:11, he, Christ, came unto his own, us, and his own, we, received him not, but as many of us as received him, to them, us, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 12 in the Greek, but as many who received him, he gave to them the authority which the children of Yahweh are to attain, to those believing in his name. His name represents the seed of Abraham. Christ came only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Jacob's 12 sons and their descendants. Abraham was not going to sacrifice Isaac for everybody in the world. He was offering him to Yahweh, and because of it, Yahweh made promises and covenants with Abraham's seed, his posterity, his race. Christ, who is of this race, or family, died for this family. We are to be the light of the Adamic nations and set the example that Christ showed us. Verse 6, to the praise of the honor of his favor, wherein he has made us accepted among the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his favor, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and understanding, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed within himself. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Back to Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Dispensation should read, that in the stewardship of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. As the seed of Abraham, Christ was the only perfect man. He set the example. We are of this same seed, called, and therefore stewards of his purpose, to strive to be like Christ. If your stewardship is supporting the church's idea of a Jewish Jesus, you might not be gathered with the stewards that understand our true prince. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The things he's reconciling are the two houses of Judah and Israel, the Israelites near and far. Verse 11 of Ephesians, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Only Abraham's seed was preordained for Yahweh's purpose. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his honor who first trusted in Christ. The ones who first trusted in Christ, meaning those who were aware and had a part in it, meaning walking with Christ, the apostles. The Greek reveals more, verse 12, for which we are to be in praise of his honor, who before had expectation in the Christ. The Israelites in Judea and the apostles had expectation in Christ because of the prophecies. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after you understood, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moshe, but favor and truth came through Yeshua Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Verse 14 of Ephesians, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In verse 13, trusted is in italic text, which means it was added. In verse 14, earnest is the down payment of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 5:5 and Romans 8:23. The purchased possession is the seed of Abraham, not anybody and everybody. The Greek 12-14, for which we are to be in praise of his honor, who before had expectation in the Christ, in whom you also, having heard the word of the truth, the good message of deliverance, in which also having believed, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, which is a deposit of our inheritance in regard to redemption of the possession in praise of His honor. The churches say everyone can be redeemed, but the scriptures say only Israelites. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus says Yahweh that created you, O Jacob, and He that formed you, O Yisrael.
Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
Verse 15 of Ephesians. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Prince Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Prince Jesus Christ, the Father of honor, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The Greek reads, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in His knowledge. You have to know who and what you are believing. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the expectation of His calling, and what are the riches of the honor of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who are believing, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and authority and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the assembly, the congregation, the group of the anointed, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Verse 23 in the Greek is much clearer. The anointed congregation, which is His body, the fulfillment of that which all things in all are being fulfilled. Hebrews 2:10, for it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto honor, to make the originator of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Acts 5:31, Him that Elohim exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. To the world, or to all men? No, it says, to Israel. Christ came only unto the lost sheep of Israel. Hebrews 2:11, for both He that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all sprung from one, for which cause He was not ashamed to call them brethren. Christ is our brother. We are related. Christ came into the flesh and blood of Adam through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and in the lineage of Jacob's son Judah. Literal brethren, literal kin. That's why He's our kinsman redeemer. Verse 12, saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I sing praise unto you. Verse 12 is a quote from Psalm 22:22. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which Elohim has given me. These are quotes from Isaiah 8:17, and I will wait upon Yahweh that hides His face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for Him. And Isaiah 8:18, behold, I and the children whom Yahweh has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from Yahweh of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. Psalm 18:2, The prince is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my Elohim, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Deuteronomy 14:1. You are the children of Yahweh your Elohim. Back to Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through his death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Luke 1:74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for Elohim has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Fear causes bondage. If we love Yahweh and keep his commands, we have nothing to fear. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. The offspring of Abraham, fleshly posterity. The churches teach that you can become spiritual Israel, or a spiritual offspring of Abraham. This is a lie. Do the demons who believe become spiritual Israel too? The word seed in Greek is sperma. Sperm cannot be spiritual. Sperm produces kind after kind. Verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it obliged him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a compassionate and trustworthy high priest in things pertaining to Elohim, to make propitiation for the failures of the people. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest having no ability to sympathize with our weakness, but who, being tested by all things in like manner, is without failure. Continuing in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. Our prince came and showed us how it is done perfectly. He is the model. We are to imitate his example. This is the path to being placed into position of sons, which is wrongly translated adopted.
Unashamed and naked in a garden that has never seen the rain. Rulers of a kingdom full of joy, never marred by any pain. The morning all around them seems to celebrate the life they've just begun. The majesty of innocence, the king and queen come walking in the sun. But the master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. And with all his craft and subtlety, the serpent twists the simple truth they've heard. While hanging in the balance is a world that has been placed at their command. And all their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand. Then just before the evening, in the cool of the day, They hear the voice of God as he is walking, but they can't abide his presence now, so they try to hide away. But still they hear the sound as he is calling. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? In the stifling heat of summer now, the gardener and his wife are in the field. And it seems that thorns and thistles are the only crops their struggles ever yield. He eats his meals in sorrow till he sinks into the dust whence he came. But all down through the ages he can hear his Maker calling out his name. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? And though the curse has long been broken, Adam's sons are still the prisoners of their fears. Rushing helter-skelter to destruction with their fingers in their ears. While the father's voice is calling with an urgency I've never heard before. Won't you come in from the darkness now? For it's time to finally close the door. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, I love you.
I have a man. Formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought.
Calls me. sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name.
Thank you. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given life to me. Save me, for I belong to you, I am yours. I have sought out your precepts, which endure to this day. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder all your statutes. I've seen an end to all perfection. Your commandments are without bounds.
Israel, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who gather. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold. And for your iron I'll give you silver, and for your brass I'll give you gold. Awake, America, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. Hosanna. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer.
to praise you, Lord. Much more than I do, I want to praise you, Lord. Much more than I do. Learn to seek your face and the knowledge of your grace. I want to praise you. Of your grace, I want to love.